Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The man I was talking to you about just before the break went in and out of prayer 10 times, making wudu, coming back, salam alaikum, and goes and makes. After the prayer has been over, he came also a few times doing this with the other jama'ah and making wudu and come back. Why? Because shaitan was controlling his life. And when shaitan controls your life and you're not following the Quran and Sunnah, you'll be doomed and destroyed. So those who have these feelings, the Prophet said, والسلام, do not leave your prayer until you hear a sound or find a smell. Meaning that it has to be concrete evidence. This is for those who are having these whispers. But for you and I, normal people, who never have these doubts in their prayer, if someone, while he's in prayer, 100% is sure that he passed wind, odorless and soundless, would he say, I'm going to continue? No. Now, in your case, you're 100% sure. The Prophet is addressing those who are doubtful. If you're doubtful in a prayer, you don't leave. And this is one of the greatest rules of Islam. What is it? Al-aslu baqa'u shay'i 'ala ma huwa 'alayh. What does that mean? Roughly translated to, the things are as they are, unchanged, until changed by something that is certain. So doubts can never remove certainty. Doubts can never remove certainty. Now, if you understand this rule, wallahi, life will be much easier for you. But you have to understand it. And I'll give you examples that would make it, inshallah, understandable. What do we mean by saying that things are as they are, unchanged? I'll tell you, I'm fasting. And without knowing, I ate. Does this break my fast? Why? Because it was not done intentionally and the thing remains as it is. It's night time. The Adhan of Fajr has not been called. So I eat and I drink and I eat and I drink and I eat and I drink. After a while, someone calls me and he says, Fajr was not called because the speakers are not on. But it was time half an hour ago and I did not know. So scholars say, your fasting is okay. Why? I was eating. They said because the night was still continuous and you're not sure that it is dawn. So the night remains as it is. Still not clear. I'll make it clear. A man makes wudu in his house, goes to work. It is time for dhuhr. He goes to the masjid. As he enters the masjid, shaitan comes to him and says, are you in the state of wudu? Didn't you pass wind? Didn't you go to the toilet? And the man scratches his head and said, I don't remember. What do we do? You tell me. Applying the rule I told you. Archie.
You can offer your salah, inshallah, without the wudu.
You can offer your salah without wudu. Who shares this opinion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Who differs? 1, 2, 3, 4. Nizar Bhai, why?
Because he's in the state of wudu.
Yes, is his wudu correct or wrong?
His wudu is there.
I'm saying who isn't. I said who is not sharing this opinion? Who says that he has to make wudu?
Yeah, I say he doesn't have to.
Yeah, no. No, I want to hear from those who say he must make wudu again. Yes. Speak to the microphone and slowly so I can understand.
As per me, there is a doubt element in his mind. So whatever is in the mind, he should get it clear because...
No, this is completely against this hadith. Because there is the element of doubt, what do we do with the doubt? We throw it away. See, this is what the hadith is about. And this is what the rule I told you about. The things remain as they are, unchanged, because there isn't anything certain to change them. So the wudu is accepted, it's authentic. Now let me reverse this. someone goes out of his house, goes to work, dhuhr time, he goes to the masjid and he says, did I make wudu or not? Wallahi, I don't remember. Did I make wudu or not? What do we do? He has to make wudu. Why? Because what is certain? He didn't make wudu. Now, the doubt is, did I make or didn't I? Because of this doubt, we cast it and he remains as he is, not making wudu. The first one, he definitely made wudu. But the doubt is, did he nullify it or not? So we cast the doubt and say, no, you still are in the state of wudu. So this hadith is extremely important for us to look for and to apply in all our lives. In every forms of ibadah, even in prayer, even in prayer. Look, the Prophet says in the authentic hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever someone prays of you and he's in doubt, did I pray two or three? What does he do? The Prophet says in the hadith, he should build his prayer on what is certain. And he should cast the doubt away. This is the Prophet saying, and complete your prayer. So, which one is the doubt? The three? The whole? The third one. These two, I am certain I've prayed them. This one is? The doubt. What does the Prophet say? Throw it in the dustbin. Neglect it. And continue your prayer as four, then offer your tashahud, and then prostrate for forgetfulness, and then offer your salam. And we will come to mention this, inshallah, when we reach the sujood as-sahu, because forgetfulness, sujood, prostration, can be before salam, and it can be after salam. There are different scenarios for it. We will explain that easily, inshallah. We move on to hadith number 26. Who will be kind enough to read it for us? Yes, Abdurrahman.
Narrated Kays bint Mehsin. I brought my young son, who had not started eating ordinary food, to Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, who took him and made him sit in his lap. The child urinated on the garment of the Prophet, may peace be upon him. So he asked for water and poured it over the garment and did not wash it.
Okay, continue the following hadith, number 27 as well.
Narrated Aisha, the mother of faithful believers, a male child was brought to Allah's Prophet, may peace be upon him, and it urinated on the garment of the Prophet. The Prophet asked for water and poured it over the soiled place.
Okay, so this is an emphasis to what we mentioned before, and that is the urine of a child who did not eat, who is dependent on his mother's milk. His urine is one of the minimum types of najasa, because we don't have to wash it. We simply pour water on it or sprinkle it, and that is it. While the same age, if a girl urinates, then you have to wash it as and treat it as the urine of an adult. Why is that? Scholars have different opinions. Some say because the passage is different. And others say that a male has this heat in him that burns all the food. So the result, which is the urine, is very less in ingredients and material than the female. Others say this, others say that. Some scholars say because men love to carry, or people love to carry boys. Boys are more favorable than girls. And that is why they often carry boys and they often urinate, so it's difficult for them to wash, while girls, they seldomly carry. And I find this very strange, because I love to carry girls more than I love to carry boys. Boys are so horrendous, they're wild, they pull your beard, they punch you in the nose. Little girls are so cute, so lovable, so embraceable, very nice to carry. So all of these justifications do not have basis, in the sense that it is not backed by the Quran and Sunnah, and therefore we just take it as it is. The Prophet instructed us to do this, we do this and we follow it. So, with this we conclude, inshallah. If you have any questions, yes, brother.
Sheikh, this is regarding passing of the wind in Salah. Because of lack of knowledge or embarrassment, even if people pass wind in the Salah, they don't break and go out of the Salah.
Some scholars say that those who break their wudu, those who pass wind while in the Salah, yet continue to pray, they have nullified their prayer. Not only that, they have nullified their Islam. It's an act of apostasy, they say, some scholars. Why? Now, while in the middle of the prayer, you pass wind. So you're not in the state of purity. Who are you bowing to and prostrating to and doing a particular motion with the congregation? Who are you doing it for? What's the answer? Allah? You're not doing it for Allah. You're not in the state of wudu. You're convincing the others. So it's an act of shirk, they say. Because you're praying not to Allah, but for them. This is what some scholars say. However, it may be, it has some legitimacy to it. But what to do? Akhi, don't be embarrassed of the people. Be embarrassed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, if the hadith, the authentic hadith says that if someone passes wind during prayer, he should put his thawb or his garment over his mouth as if he's nose bleeding. And he should leave prayer. So if someone does this while you're praying and breaks the rows and goes, you will think that he has a nose bleeding. In this way, you would have escaped embarrassment. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.